Support for KBOO comes from our listeners. If you value independent media, go to kboo.fm and click donate. And thank you for supporting your community radio station.
I'm Don Merrill, and I've been talking to as many Oregon State judicial, legislative, and gubernatorial candidates for 2014 office as I can. And I've been talking to them all. Deep blue, progressive, liberal, democratic, centrist, independent, Republican, conservative, libertarian, deep red. Many of these candidates get ignored by the mainstream media, but they're not ignored here. Hear these interviews on my podcast at www.kboo.fm/between us. Listen to the people who want to lead you in 2014. Oregon State judicial, legislative, and gubernatorial candidate interviews at my podcast, www.kboo.fm/between us.
Cascadia. Today is Monday, April 21st, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have a more or less breaking story from down around Klamath Falls. This from the Earth First Journal's Cascadia office. Before we get into any headlines or stories, I just want to bring this to you. Native activists protested at an A-list ceremony of politicians. They disrupted the signing of the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement along the Klamath River in southern Oregon. At one point, an activist stood in front of the podium during an official speech and burned a copy of the water agreement. According to activists, the Klamath tribes were strong-armed into the agreement. The current Klamath Basin snowpack is, okay, wait for it, 25%, that's right, 25% of normal, whatever that is, showing that the river will be in drought conditions this summer. Although the agreement will break down some important dams that hold back, the Klamath River conservationists insist that it will not maintain sufficient protections. Given 3 weeks to consult about the 90-page document, the tribe was called for a vote, with only a third of the electoral body casting their ballots. Even then, the agreement was passed into the hands of tribal chairman Don Gentry with just 57% approval. Many complained that the complex legal jargon was difficult to understand for the average person, and the time allotted to vote was insufficient to hold necessary dialogues. So, the real stakeholders in the agreement are the ranching interests, who are concerned that federal protections and tribal rights will devote enough water to Klamath River conservation, keeping ranching interests in danger of water shutoffs. Okay, there you go. Ranching, that's food, right? Food causes what? Food causes people. We are in this mess because too many people are trying to extract too much from land that is already tapped out. And the efforts to continue this exploitive policy are exactly what have caused the problem in the first place. This is extraordinary. The only thing about this story that is puzzling to me is why there were not thousands of people out there sharing in the action. Thanks, Earth First. And as many people know, Reuben Hurricane Carter, star prize fighter, whose career was cut short by a murder conviction in New Jersey, where else, and became an international cause célèbre. He was imprisoned for 19 years before the charges against him were dismissed. He died on Sunday morning at his home in Toronto. Methane might be the last thing you ever breathe, actually. Fracking sites in Pennsylvania's natural gas-rich Marcellus Shale area are releasing, as it turns out, far, far more methane than we previously thought. Somewhere on the order of 100 to 1,000 times EPA estimates. People who keep track of these things and are paying attention know that the danger, one of the principal dangers of all of this disruption to the Earth's crust, our protective skin, is the sudden and unpredictable release of these huge methane bubbles. This is something that nothing that we can do. We have more control over an incoming comet or meteor than we have over this. It is utterly unpredictable, and there is absolutely nothing that can be done. And yes, Virginia, it will wipe out everyone and everything in its flight path. So 100 to 1,000 times EPA estimates, and that's from the Environmental Protection Agency, not an entity known for being overly cautious in its estimates of environmental harm that might befall us. These numbers, though, come from the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Flying about 7 well pads in a plane equipped to measure greenhouse gas emissions, researchers found that on average, the sites emitted 34 grams of methane per second, the EPA's estimate between 0.04. Well, it's bad news. Very bad news. And nobody has a plan for solving the problem either. In the 4 years since the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, and we are this past weekend, we are revisiting thinking about that disaster again in light of the many different projects now being proposed around the country, particularly in the Cascadia region, where various terminals are being planned for our rivers and coastal areas. It's clear some places in the Gulf are still reeling from the effects of the millions of gallons of oil, and especially to the chemical dispersants that were used. On Cat Island in Baratu Bay, a habitat that was once thick with mangroves and hosted hundreds of pairs of nesting pelicans, all that's left now is, and this is a quote from the Times-Picayune report, bones of black mangrove stumps. The island is also quickly eroding, a process sped up by the oil, which lingers in the island's marshy soil. It's killed off the trees that help hold the soil together. More on that. The indigenous Onondaga Nation has filed a petition against the federal government alleging that officials have repeatedly broken treaties and that the court system has failed to offer remedy. This petition was filed by the Onondaga Nation, a Native American tribe, and one of the more than 650 sovereign peoples recognized by the U.S. government. Onondaga representatives are calling on the Inter-American Court of Human Rights. That's IACHR. We'll be referring to that acronym later on in the show when we talk a little bit more about this lawsuit. The human rights arm of the Pan-Regional Organization of American States has been called upon to intervene. In 2005, the Onondaga Nation filed a case against New York State. The claim was that the state government had repeatedly violated treaties signed with the Onondaga, resulting in lost land and severe environmental pollution. More on that. Moving right along, though, and all of this relates. All of these stories are deeply connected one to another. That's the most important part about these types of news shows. Am I biased? Hell yes, I'm biased, but at least I'm honest about it. There's no way you can do a news show without having either conscious or subconscious opinions. And that comes through. At least we're telling the truth here. Yeah, definitely. But the point that we want to make is whatever stories we choose to cover and whatever manner in which we choose to cover them, all of these relate one to another in ways that it is critical at this point, it's critical to our very survival that we pay attention to this. In 2013, the 10 biggest tech companies upped their spending on lobbying to 16% over the previous year. You know what? Tech companies are not absolutely spotlessly clean when it comes to environmental crime. Companies like Amazon, Google, and IBM spent far more than most pharmaceutical firms, the National Rifle Association, R.J. Reynolds Tobacco, and others that we tend normally, you know, to think of as trying to control the dialogue taking place in Washington, D.C. These, just like these other lobbyists, tech mega corporations are casting a lot of their money towards causes that increase social and economic inequality, like pushing for cheaper labor, pushing for tax breaks for the richest of the rich. And increasingly, they're having their way with the wealth of the nation, wealth created by who? By you and I. Biofuels are back in the news again. It turns out that, and this was hilarious, that the Obama administration had been behind burning of various, what they call it, waste forest products. Waste forest products are actually the substrate upon which the forest of the future would grow if we had forests in the future, which we won't. We're going to have tree farms instead. So it probably won't matter whether we have waste from forestry to burn heedlessly. In fact, however, it does turn out that the particulate matter generated by this process is worse for you, for general health, than the byproducts of burning fossil fuels. So there you go. It can be fossil or non-fossil. Burning it is still going to make for a huge public health catastrophe. But thank goodness, right? Obamacare has rallied all the insurance companies. Hey, and just wait until all the health insurance companies suddenly decide to up their rates. They've got the whole nation over a barrel now. It used to be just their customers. Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield used to be able to up the rates on certain groups of their customers. But now, talk about collective bargaining power. Wow. When this inadvertent or perhaps very deliberate consortium decides to flex its muscles, we're going to feel it like never before. Never before. Biggest giveaway to the private sector in the history of this nation. So, biofuels made from the leftovers of harvested corn plants are worse than gasoline for global warming in the short term. There is a study out recently challenging the Obama administration's conclusions that they are a much cleaner, and this is the corn, I think. You see, they're still trying to do something with corn. It's now that it's in human DNA, now that corn has inveigled its way into human DNA, that's not enough. Now we're going to be driving around on corn. Terrific. So, the Obama administration's conclusions is they're a much cleaner oil alternative and will help combat climate change. No, they won't. They'll help combat some people not getting as wealthy as they had planned to become. A $500,000 study paid for, and that's nothing. That's a mere pittance paid for by the federal. Though that's about a day's worth of studying for the federal government released yesterday in the peer-reviewed journal Nature Climate Change concludes that biofuels made with corn residue release 7% more greenhouse gases in the early years compared with conventional gasoline. While biofuels are better in the long run, they say, and how would we know since we don't have a long run to study? They say that they won't meet a standard set in a 2007 energy law to qualify as renewable fuel. These conclusions are a big punch in the mouth to what are known as cellulosic biofuels, which have received more than $1 billion, more than $1 billion in federal support, but have struggled to meet volume targets mandated by law. Oh, they're not making enough of it, even though instead of they've spent billions of dollars on this. It's not going to work, and even if it did, it won't hit volume targets in any case. And the GOP is making a bold play for a U.S. Senate seat in reliably Democratic Oregon, where a Republican hasn't been elected to a statewide office in more than a decade. Republicans back in Washington think that they found the right candidate in Monica Webby, a children's brain surgeon who's raised more than $1 million and put her early opposition to President Barack Obama's health care law at the center of her campaign. Well, of course she has. And she probably has got no idea what she's doing up there at the podium. But she does know one thing, and that is that there are millions of dollars behind her. The Koch brothers and all the rest are standing up for little Monica and her run for power. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, April 21st, 2014. Joe Clement engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Joe. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening, and be sure to stay tuned. Locus Focus coming right up.
Our jails and prisons have become overcrowded with people suffering from mental illness. Many people incarcerated are also addicted to drugs and alcohol. What treatment is being provided? Tune in to Prison Pipeline April 14th to hear Doyle Smith of Dual Diagnosis Anonymous of Oregon talk about the need for treatment programs in our jails and prisons. That's Prison Pipeline April 14th at 6:30 p.m.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next is Locus Focus. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from